Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you out this morning, and nice to be here on a beautiful Sunday morning, isn't it? If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a few passages this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, So if you could turn there, we're going to read a few verses. Ecclesiastes. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Look at chapter 1. Solomon's Great Laboratory of Life. That's the way I sort of wrote this out. Solomon's Great Laboratory of Life. Now look what he says. Now understand who Solomon is. King, probably the richest man in terms of money, currency of the time, definitely the richest man alive then, but probably, if you look at the some of the background in terms of the possessions that he had accumulated, Solomon was probably the richest man that ever lived in terms of hard dollars. Secondly, the wisest man that ever lived, apart from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you keep that in mind. And who better to do an inquisition like this? Who better to ask these questions that we're going to look at this morning? Look what he says in verse 12. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven, or as some of your versions would say, under the sun. Okay, so understand that. Here's Solomon, and he goes through a period of time in his life that he's asking questions, and he says, well, you know, since I'm the king and I've been given so much, I'm going to really look into life. And, of course, the good thing for us is he writes these things down so that you and I, you know, centuries later can read all about it. And what do we read? Well, Solomon says that he looked at everything over a period of time under the sun. And so it really is a great laboratory that he created with all the money in the world, think about that, and all the wisdom, human wisdom even, that he was given, okay? So he says that, and I don't want to focus in too much on that right yet until I read to you a few verses in chapter 3, because then I'm going to try and tie these things together, okay? I'll come back, and we'll just look at some of his conclusions that are significant, and then we will look at what you and I, our response should be to the inquiries. Now look at chapter 3, and you might think that this was a song in the 60s. I, you know, as a teenager, there was a great hit song. Now, a lot of you are not old enough to know the Byrds, but they actually came out with one of the top singles. I think it was 1967, or anyway, I thought they just sang a song, but it came out of scripture. Look what it says. For everything there is a season. This is chapter 3 and verse 1. A time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And then it goes on, a time to plant and a time to harvest, time to kill, a time to heal. And look at verse 9. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity into the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. Now, what I want to do this morning is give you a contrast of what Solomon saw under the sun and what he saw in revelation from God. And this is really, really key. Solomon figured out four things from his inquisition into life. Life, folks, without God. And what he's saying is, life without God is meaningless. Now, that is very hard for people to accept. But life, that's what his conclusion was. Life without God is meaningless. And he gets into some detail about that in the first two chapters. He says, look, if life without God, you are nothing but what? A cog in the wheel, meaning that you are insignificant. Hard to take, right? It's depressing. I'm going to ask the guys to just to flip up a picture that I got this week. Now, you won't recognize these people, and neither did I. But a former patient of mine who lives in the North Bay area heard me on one of my podcasts, and she was figuring out that her and I might be related. So what she did is she sent me some pictures with some dates and who these people were. And she said to me, she asked me, Tony, do you think we're related? And when I saw this and then their names, I figured out we were distant cousins. But let me explain to you what Solomon came to. This is a picture of my great-grandparents. Now, if you were here in the first meeting this morning, I told you something. I gave you some news, right? Rosie and I are great-grandparents again for number three. Okay? Our third grandchild was, great-grandchild, was born this morning in Timmins. Okay? Folks, I'm a great-grandparent. Am I not significant? But I didn't even remember, I'm sure my grandmother talked about it, but I didn't even remember their names. I knew their last name was my grandmother on my dad's side, okay? So my dad's mom was born in a place called Astorville, okay? And if you don't know where Astorville is, nobody else does either. It's just a little community outside of North Bay. And my grandfather, not my great-grandfather, but my grandfather, my dad's dad, came from Quebec in 1905. He landed up in a place, how he got there, I don't know. But he landed up in Astorville. He was 30 years old, and my grandmother was 15. They put you in jail today. But apparently at that time it was, I'm not saying it was common, okay? That's what I heard. But they moved, so he met my grandmother in Rochefort. Her name was Rochefort. Now you see that guy right there? That's my great-grandfather. That is a picture in 18... Brian, what year did you say that hymn we sang this morning?
It was 1887.
1887 or 86, you said, right? That's a picture of the same day, the same year. And that guy, you see the little kid on the side there? That's my grandmother's brother, her oldest brother. But anyway, his name was Isidore Rochefort, as French as you can be. They didn't even speak English. They couldn't speak English. My grandmother didn't speak English when she came to Timmins. And yet they lived in Ontario. And my grandmother, her maiden name was Isabelle Perron. Why am I telling you this? Are you not interested in great-grandparents? Do you know who your great-grandparents are? You ever met them? Great. I'm not talking about your grandparents. But, you know, isn't Solomon right? Think about it for a minute. Here he is. He's looking at life, and he says, okay, you're just not that significant. And when you get to be a great-grandparent, like you got to beat off Peter and Brenda and Stacy and Craig even to get at my little great-granddaughter, right? Like, I mean, we're way in the back of the bus, right? And because you can, you know, I'm a grandparent too. If I'd have known my grandchildren, if they were that much fun, I'd have had them first. That's how much grandchildren were. But when you become a great-grandparent, you really realize you're at the back of the bus. Like, and Callie's smart because she figured out that there's great-grandma Rosie and great-grandpa Tony. I love when she calls me that, okay? But isn't Solomon, doesn't he get at the root issues here in life? In insignificance. And then the other things that he did, and I'll come back to this in a minute. He says, look, all the money in the world, I had it. All the treasure in the world, I had it. And Solomon was frustrated by the fact that we read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time to be born and a time to die. Now, why am I talking about this morning? Why am I talking about this? Because we have, in our society, we're trying to find answers, right? Like what's happened in the last couple of weeks in a little town of 16,000 people in Texas? You and I hear all about it, right? And imagine, you can't even think of how that could be possible, that someone would go into a school, right? And do what that guy did. I mean, you can't comprehend it almost. You're thinking, what happens? Well, you know, there's a battle going on in the States, and I think they missed the point. I really do. Because they're talking about guns, and then they're talking on the other side, mental health, right? And to me, Solomon hit it right. Because he asked the questions under the sun, and he said this, okay, what is life all about under the sun? And he said it was meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Because you were never programmed. Listen, you were never programmed to live without God. You're not programmed for it. And we see it, it's almost like mental health today is on steroids, right? You know what I mean by that? Like we live in a world, happens so fast, one event after the other. You and I have lived in a time that is almost like a laboratory in itself, right? You and I lived in the lab for the last 2 years. An experiment in human history, in human psychology, and you know what we found out? We didn't do well. Humans didn't do very well. We flunked. We really did. And you know, in a two-year frame, right, you know what we didn't realize was the consequences of us focusing all of our attention on one sickness and not another, right? We got caught up in it, all of us did. We had no choice, right? But what happened in this world, guys, this is really significant, is that people, they lost their bearings. They lost their significance. They lost, it's sad, really. And what we're seeing now is a tsunami of mental health disorders. A tsunami of it. And any physician will tell you that. It's incredible because in a short period of time, people, things came out. People, I was just reading some of the things that, let me just give you a little definition of depression. Now listen to this. Depression is defined as a mental health disorder that involves your thoughts, behaviors, feelings, and sense of well-being. It's a good definition. Some of the symptoms of depression are these. Now just see if you haven't closed your eyes to what's gone on in the world in the last couple of years, I want you to just try and identify with some of these symptoms of depression. Feeling hopeless, feeling helpless, feeling worthless, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, and feeling restless. This is coming to a theater near you. The world is just full of it, of this. They often lose interest in activities that were once pleasurable to them. They may overeat or experience a lack of appetite. They may have trouble sleeping, or all they can do is sleep. They have trouble concentrating, trouble making decisions, withdrawal and isolation are some of the worst results of depression. So that gives you a good parameter of what's happening. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you look and you understand that we're all prone to it, we're all prone to it. That I believe that mental health is a look. I understand chemistry and I understand biochemistry. I understand that there's chemical changes that occur in a person's brain. That's 100% absolute. It's like a diabetic, right? How do you know a person's a diabetic? Well, you take their blood sugar, right? It's as simple as that. In mental health, there's chemistry, dopamine, serotonin. They're out of whack, right? But you don't fix the problem by going after dopamine and serotonin. That's only a Band-Aid. Because at the end of the day, folks, there's a spiritual, and this is what Solomon was getting at. He was trying to get significance for the world's population outside of God. And you can't do it. Everything you do outside of God will be a Band-Aid. It's not the solution. And then... if you don't get that, then when the world throws something at you, and it's not a matter of if it'll happen to you, it's when it will happen to you. Job said this in Job 14, verse 1. Life is short and what? Full of trouble. Are you guys into memorizing verses? Can I give you easy ones? I like easy. You? Right? Life is short and it's full of trouble. And you know, when you're young, yeah, sometimes you don't think about that. But Solomon, here he is. And what an experiment. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he did it. And when he didn't get above here, and folks, if you live and you don't get above here, you're going to become insignificant. Your life, you'll live. You'll have a time to be born and a time to die. I tell you guys, and I tell you this probably every time I preach, and you're tired of it, but I do have a degree in obituariology. Rosie gave it to me. She can't get over how I am fascinated by obituaries, and I am. But I'm going to tell you something. If you look, and I look every morning, first year, make sure I'm not in there myself, right? But second thing I look for in obituary, you can do it in the sudburystar.ca or whatever. Look, it's fascinating. But look at where they put their money, meaning the family asked to put their money. You want to know how people died? I can tell you. Cancer? But you know what the vast majority in the last, either died of old age, you know, just got sick and died in their 80s or whatever. You know what? You look at any young person that's died in Sudbury in the last month. I challenge you. I've done it. And you will see there's probably been over 15 to 20 suicides are drug overdoses. Folks, that is a mental health issue. You know what happened in Uvalde, Texas? That is a person, and I'm not saying that, no excuses for what happened there. But there was a person that struggled, I guarantee you, with mental health issues. The fact that he was able to get a gun and all that, yep, I'm part of it for sure. But folks, think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Now, the good news is found in chapter 3. Because Solomon, in his conclusions about life, are under the sun, and he says, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much fame you have. I don't care, and listen, I don't care how much of that you have. Pleasure, treasure, it doesn't matter. It will not satisfy you until you get hooked up to God. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and sometimes we go through it because we might not understand the significance of what he said. You know what he said? God has planted. Okay, you got that? Verse 11, look at it. If you look at it, I don't know how it says it in your version. My version said, God has planted, okay, eternity in your hearts, guys. God has planted eternity in your hearts. It's part of your being. What is that? What does that mean? That God has planted eternity in your life? Well, folks, you are meant, you as a human being, listen, you are meant, you have a homing device. It's been built into you. It's part of you. And it really wants to link you up to heaven. You can't live. You can't truly live unless you understand that God has given you himself, eternity in your heart. Now, if you don't ever turn that on, there's four questions in life that are answered in that verse. There's four questions. I tell you, at the root of mental health, a lot of it, okay? And I, again, not discounting chemistry. Please. What I am saying is this. When there's four questions in life, and you better be able to answer this. Otherwise, you have your homing device is not on. You need to turn it on today. Here it is. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? That's significant, guys. You're not an accident. There's no one here in this building. There's no one here that's an accident. The Bible says very clearly, in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you. Where do you come from? Do you know that? Young people today, I'm telling you, you swat at a mosquito. And evolutionary teaching says, well, that was one of your distant cousins. You know what I mean? You want to talk about insignificance? You know, buy into the lie of evolution. That's insignificance, guys. It's being taught in our schools. It's taught Sam would agree with this. It's taught in medical school. It's taught in all the sciences. It is just taken for granted that you and I are part of an evolutionary biology. And for a lot of people, you see the debate in the United States. The debate's over in Canada. There's no debate in Canada, but there's a debate in the States, if you watch the news at all, on abortion, right? There's no debate in Canada. Can't even talk about it. Did you ever think, I know you guys look at me and say, well, he's pretty old, but did you ever think, really, in our lifetime, that babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade in the United States? Well, it's part of evolution, guys. Right? It's part of evolution. It's the survival of the fittest and who counts and who doesn't. I don't even want to get into a debate about that. It ought not to be a debate amongst Christians. I often like to tell the story of Rosie. She doesn't like when I tell it, but I like when I tell it. Because Rosie was adopted. And her mother was 15 in downtown Toronto in the 1950s. You know what I thank God for? I thank God there was no readily available abortions. I'm the sixth in my family. You know, I'm glad to, you know. I remember talking with my dad, you know, before he passed away. And my dad sort of, you know, anyway, I loved him more than life. But, you know, sometimes him and I would get into a little, after I became a Christian, I would challenge my dad's thinking, you know. And he was very liberal in the way he thought. And he said, well, abortion is just, you know, it's a woman's right. And I said, Dad, I'm glad Mom didn't think like that. Right? But guys, what I'm saying is that if you don't have that homing device turned on, if you're not hooked up to heaven, these things might not even bother you. It won't. No, it's just life. It's the way it is. The survival of the fittest. Evolution must be true because they teach it in school. And it must be, right? That's the way the world goes, right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. And where do you come from? Second question is this, very significant, because Solomon gets into it. Why are you here? You ever thought about that? See, mental health, a lot of it for young people, they got no bearings. Everything has been washed away, isn't it? Really, in life? Like a lot of things, you know, security. I was talking to Donna there in between meetings, and she said, well, one thing I know, God will never leave me nor forsake me. And, you know, sometimes we say that, but that's true. Why are you here? Why are you here? You're significant. You have your own fingerprints. Every hair or the lack thereof. God knows about every one of your hairs, right? You're significant. You can't even lose a hair. He said, you see a sparrow? Well, they fall to the ground. I know about it, God says. A sparrow. He said, how much more you? Guys, if you don't have that, you know why people get so depressed and so out of whack in their thinking? They don't know why they're here, and they don't know why, where they came from. They don't even know that. You know, I'm watching across the street at our place there, and you know, this guy's, anyway, I don't want to go into too much detail. The marriage is falling apart. And, you know, we look at stuff like that, and you go, well, you know what? It's not fun. I said, you know what's not fun for? Is that little girl that lives across the street. Mommy and daddy are, you know. Psht. You don't think there's no consequences to that? In our pleasure-mad society in which you and I live, people are into themselves, and children are... they're adaptable. Yeah, kids are adaptable. I agree with that. But these things hurt, tear people apart, and tear kids apart. And the other thing is, so these are good questions, right? And God put eternity in your hearts. And the questions are being answered. Where do you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? You see, if you don't turn that eternity on, God put it there. It's a homing device. You better flip the switch. Put it on. And you do that when you fall in love with a person. See, Jesus said, it's not really a gospel thing, but I've often used it in the gospel. Jesus said, I'm knocking, right? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. God wants in. God wants in to your life. God wants into your life. Now, he's not going to force his way in. He won't do it. But he wants you to come to realize that if you really look at life, don't, you know, one of the problems with life is oftentimes we don't look at it and examine it the way we should, the way Solomon did. And we don't read enough about guys like Solomon that looked into life and came into to conclusions. Where do you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? You see, because he put eternity in your heart. You know what that means? You're not a dog. That's what it means. Now, I know you love your dog. But your dog doesn't have a homing device. He does in a way. Okay, he. Could be a she. Dogs have a homing device. You know what it is? To you. To you. And that's why people love dogs, right? Not so much cats. Cats don't have it, okay? There you go. One of the few. No, but you know what I mean? And that's what Solomon says it. He says, if you don't hook up with God, then you're a homing device. doesn't work because you're not an animal. An animal doesn't have a homing device to God. Only you do, because you're made in his image. You're made in his image. You're made. You were born for him. And the fourth question is there, and it's answered here. Where do you come from? Right? Why are you here? Where are you going? And this is probably the most important one. Who cares? That's what Solomon says. Who cares? You're going to die like my great-grandparents. My grandfather there, Isidore. Glad he didn't name me that. So my dad didn't name me after my great-grandfather. Isidore, you see him there? I didn't even know his name until I was sent the pictures and the people. I know he was a Rochford, but I didn't know his first name. Who cares? Do you care about my grandfather, great-grandfather? Be honest. No, you don't. Are you going to lose any sleep tonight over the fact that they died? Nah. You know what? When my mother died, you know, it's almost like, I don't know. It shook me to the core when my mother died. I was saved. But it was like the book of Ecclesiastes. I told my dad that I was going to go, I'll take care of the funeral arrangements. My dad would just beside himself. And I said, Dad, I'll take care of it. So I went downtown Timmins, okay? And people were walking, people were laughing, people were doing this, they were shopping, they were, and I felt like, hello! Stop! Can you give my mother at least a minute? My mother died. Nobody cared except her family and a few friends. Who cares, guys? God cares. God cares about you. That changes everything in life, folks. If it doesn't for you, you're not dialed in. You don't have the homing device on. You need to flip the switch. You can do it today. And admit that you are living your life under the sun. You haven't got a heavenly perspective. You're not tied into heaven. You know that you can get tied into heaven before you leave this place this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. It was Solomon's experience. It's my experience. And there's a lot of people in this room today, it's their experience. It will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your thinking. It will change who you are. You will become born again, spiritually. And it will connect you to heaven. Everything changes. Everything changes from that perspective. And that is the summary of the book of Ecclesiastes. God put eternity into your heart. If you don't figure that out, you will live. You will, you know, you'll have your happy days and you'll have your sad days and you will live and you will die. I mean, the statistics are pretty clear, and you will become, if the Lord doesn't tarry, because the Lord is coming back, and I always have to remind myself and my audience of that Jesus Christ is coming back. But in the meantime, are you hooked up to him? Are you hooked up to heaven? Let us pray. Father, thank you again, O God, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank you for eternal life. And the Lord Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've put eternity in our hearts. And Father, I pray this morning that even maybe a young person or someone else here, Father, that the message has spoken to them. And show them, O God, how significant they are to you. Show them the meaning, the true meaning of life, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.